Steve Sherlock here for Franklin Matters, Franklin Public Radio, available anywhere, anytime on the internet, in your browser at WFPR.FM, and in the local Franklin Mass FM radio dial 102.9. Yeah, the dial, maybe push buttons. You can preset 102.9 on the FM band. Here today, virtually, with another candidate this interview for our biennial election coming up November 4th. School committee candidate, Paul Griffith. Paul, thank you for doing this.
Steve, thanks so much for having me and all the efforts. I've seen a lot of these candidate videos come out. It's really been quite the wonderful opportunity to learn a lot more about the candidates that are running for the various positions. And I know that we really couldn't do anything like this without your efforts, which are all volunteer. So
Yeah.
thank you very much for that and for having me tonight.
No, thank you. It's something I would need as a resident voter, and nobody else is here to do it. So, yeah, I'll step up. And it gives me some video editing practice. So, that's all good. All good. So, we'll begin at the beginning and start with what's a little bit about your Franklin story so that people will say, oh, Paul, I think I've seen him somewhere, but who is he? What is he doing? So, briefly, you're the road to Franklin, Lifewood in Franklin, and your involvement in the community here.
So thanks for asking. So my road actually started in New Jersey. Grew up just outside Princeton. Lived there most of my life, and then went to college down in the South, going to both Clemson and the Georgia, before making my way back up north. Stopped off at NIH for a couple of years for my postdoc, and then was able to get a biotech job up in the Boston area, which brought me up here. Obviously not from the area, and looking at, trying to move with a family of four at that point, myself, my wife, my two kids, really had a couple of important details that mattered. The commute into the city, we have fantastic train line, can get in on the roads theoretically, but the train line was actually the big selling point for us. And then we really wanted an area that had kind of a great community on its own. Franklin is a good sized community. It's not just a very small, kind of collection of houses with like one little street. There's really kind of a vibrant community in the downtown. And then really for us, having the two kids at the time, the schools were very, very important. Was considered to have fantastic schools. And really for me, what I looked at was kind of the longevity of it. There's instances where, you can look at the system. It's very easy to have really high scores one year, or kind of a peak and then a valley. But really, Franklin had been performing at a high level when it came to the school systems for quite some time. So that for me was a huge draw. So that's what brought us to Franklin. Once we were here, it was, 1 year basically of getting used to New England, really, really loving it. Like I personally am a huge fan of the cold. So that was kind of a great, transition from the South.
That helps.
Really enjoyed that. But then what really kind of colored that was that after that first year, we dropped into COVID. So all the opportunities to go out and see the sights and really experience, the Cape, getting up in the mountains, it all kind of came to a screeching halt. So we, kind of took this weird pause where we, hunkered down. And then after that, we were able to open back up and really kind of start seeing, more of the town and getting more involved. So for me, the first involvement really of the town was actually soccer. So both my kids play soccer. I was able to coach for them. I thought it was very important to make sure to support them in that way, but then also really make sure that I could help support other students and other kids that might be interested in playing. And actually, I've done that every year since then. So they were, wow, it's been a while. They were, five going on six at the time. And now they're 10. So I've been coaching them each year. Just really, again, the work that the Franklin Soccer does is really fantastic. I've been very lucky to be able to be a part of it so far. But that's been something that has really mattered a lot to me as a way to give back, to the community. And then also for me, I've had the opportunity to be on the school committee now for 2 years. That was something that was actually very far from my radar. I've been very involved in the education system in multiple locations, having taught in the collegiate level, and obviously been in school for a long time. But when I had a couple of people sit down and really talk about what we had facing our schools and the important details that were going to be coming up in the coming 2 years, I felt that it was going to be a great way for me to give back. You know, I have no real motives outside of trying to make sure that we have a fantastic school system. You know, obviously for my children, but we have over 4,000 kids in this overall system. And for me, that was really the big motivating factor to get even more involved, and start contributing time that way, was making sure that we have an environment, a system that supports these students as they really need, and really try to make sure that it's not just the students, but also the staff and the faculty that we have in Franklin that have created this really fantastic educational environment are also supported so that they're able to continue doing what they really need to support our students.
Yeah, I think just as a quick summary of all the candidates that have relocated here, generally it's a couple of key pieces. And my own relo 30 years ago was very similar. So the train for the commute, the affordability of the house at the time, and certainly the schools. And those are common threads for most everybody that's come here. So yeah, thank you for that. Secondly, and then I think even your experience in the school committee in the past term, at least, civil discourse is certainly a key component of our form of government. Unfortunately, on the national level, the political divide has really just gotten worse, if not better. Fortunately, at least on a biennial election, it's non-party based, it's nonpartisan, but we still have some opportunities to try and maintain that civil discourse. So I know you've been dabbing in to the social pieces from time to time. What else can you do if not just that, to help the civil discourse?
So, you know, for me, I think really the big challenge is people seeing each other as a name on a screen, or people seeing each other as this point or that point, one opinion or another, instead of kind of really seeing through that and seeing what either what is generating those kind of concerns or those kind of opinions, what kind of history there may or may not be, or really what other details we have that really are much more similar than people tend to assume. And I think that is really the crux of what has come about over the past few years, is that it has become an all or nothing. One topic, pick a topic, any topic, and people sit down on one side or the other. That's not natural. I think there's actually a whole lot more gray area that everyone experiences. But the problem is that we have kind of taken on that approach of, all right, you're either here or you're there, instead of all the in-betweens, because people really want to try to create that camaraderie. You want to say, hey, you know, people around me are, have similar opinions, or, you know, really being able to kind of clarify your differences from another group. And I think really where the truth sits is much more often in that gray area, recognizing that it doesn't have to be all or nothing. It doesn't have to be right and wrong. It can be, we disagree on this topic, but there's three other topics over here that are very similar that we do agree on, right? That we can find that common ground. And you know, personally, I've you know, I'm an independent. I've always, you know, really kind of cherished the fact that asking the questions of everyone who's running for any given office is important, and really taking that into account when it comes to understanding why you will or will not support them. Never particularly cared about a letter sitting next to someone's name. It was always about what that person meant. And there was never going to be the perfect alignment. There was never going to be the person who shares all the same values, all the same goals that I have. But there were going to be the ones who shared a lot more, and they're going to be the ones that didn't. And really, that was how I tried to parse it out. I grew up in a family that was very, very diverse when it came to political opinions. We have people over the entire spectrum. And I think that is really the core of what is situated me in the kind of where I am today with the opinions, where it is very important to remember that all of them are individuals. Some of the folks that I am closest to in my family, politically, I disagree with the most. Doesn't matter. It's still my favorite uncle or my favorite man. And that, I think, is really, you know, what I've tried to make sure to remember and bring forward in some other discussions, especially locally. You know, I think there are topics that can be very heated. There are topics that have really taken on different tones when it comes to, you know, discussing science or discussing health versus discussing politics. And I think the intersections there have made things very complicated. But I do think that remembering and really discussing things with people from that perspective of knowing them as a person versus a name on a screen has become very important. And I had the great opportunity of getting to know some people more and discuss things more with them and recognize that, you know what, we're not going to agree. And that's perfectly fine. We can discuss, we can debate, we can have our different stances, and it doesn't always have to come to a conclusion of, well, if we're actually aligned, then you're going to agree with all these points. It's like, no, yeah, we might disagree on these 4 points. We might agree on those three. We might not agree on most things that we cover in a topic, and that's all okay. And I think the biggest thing that we need to do to really break down this kind of the partisan feeling and these high walls is to discuss things. Echo chambers, and you see this a lot, especially on the social media pages, where there are groups that they form around a specific topic, or this they form around a specific ideal. And I think those can be really good, especially for supporting individuals that are looking for answers, or looking for support, looking for help. But I think when it comes to the civil discourse side of it, the more public settings where you have a lot more of that back and forth, where you can listen to a lot of people that don't necessarily agree, where you can have a lot of engagement with people that are not going to sit there and say, hey, that was a great idea. They're going to challenge it. It opens everyone up to a much more fruitful discussion. And I think allows us to move forward in that way to really kind of continue to look at the gray area. The more time we spend there, the more we realize how much we do have in common versus the individual points that we don't. And I think that's something that we really need to focus on as we go forward. And I think, looking at what a lot of the candidates have said so far, obviously going late in the overall process, I have this advantage. It seems like a lot of people are saying something similar, where it really is going to be about us, working through some of these differences and communicating it. And I think also looking at it online, communicating that out with the community, even in instances when it's not the most popular answer, even when you're not going to be welcomed with open arms because people aren't necessarily happy with the decision, being willing to stand there and discuss it and explain it and sometimes take the brunt of that, recognizing that no one candidate, no one committee member on the school committee or town council member has any power as an individual. It's only as a unit that they have any power. But to still stand there and say, hey, these were the reasons that were explained. It doesn't have to be yours. It can be the reasons that were explained at the meeting, but you're bringing people along and really kind of making sure that they stay engaged instead of just saying, hey, this is what happened. Sorry. This is what happened. Here are some of the different reasons given. Here's some of the reasons that people didn't feel as strongly for that point. Here's the decision made. Please let me know if you have any other questions. Those kind of moments, I think we can really push through the civil discourse side of it, especially on the local level.
Yeah, I think starting with that, individual respect is another theme that some people have said. Start with the individual, recognize the individual. That in itself, having an acknowledgement they're being heard, is something I think that has come through, at least in the last several months. So, yeah, I'm much more hopeful. Still concerned, but I'm hopeful at least with what's been said. So, yeah, the proof's going to be in the pudding. So we'll see.
Absolutely. And I think that point that you made kind of in closing and looking at responses is really the important thing. This was something that we saw a lot of on a couple of the different occasions this year with school committee was parents just wanted to know that they were heard. It didn't, it, you know, I, the number of emails that I responded, especially around redistricting, it wasn't about, hey, this solves your question, or this is the clear answer. It was, here's as much information as I have. Here's how I can try to provide it to you. And acknowledging that it is a stress that everyone went through. It is concerns. There are a lot of questions. And I think that really, really goes a long way to bringing people along. It's not going to be the answer. It's not always going to be solve the problem. And actually, some of the parents that I got had the opportunity to talk to, there's a lot of back and forth. One email leads to another, leads to another, leads to another. And I thought that was fantastic. And it really, for me, that's kind of the point of why I had joined in the first place, was making sure people had that ability to have a conversation instead of just saying, oh, something's happening off in the distance. I'll turn on the TV and I don't agree with any of that. To really be able to have that back and forth and engaging with the parents, I thought was important. But yeah, definitely to your original point there, engaging with the population of Franklin, talking with people, answering their questions. It doesn't have to be something big and dramatic. It doesn't have to be necessarily the answer that they want, but being willing to provide the details that they're asking is something that I think is really important for us moving forward.
And the third of the three questions that all the candidates get, and I'll take the opportunity. So if there's a new listener and you haven't seen any of these before, you may not be aware, the candidates did get all the questions beforehand. There's no trick questions. There was no intent to do that. We want to have the conversation, and that's what we're doing. So I'll get the same three questions, and then we'll get into specific school committee questions for Paul, as opposed to the town council questions, planning board questions, etc. All intended and kind of my view as what do I need to create, an informed voter from me, having the same questions across the pool of candidates. Now you've got a common base to make some choices and make some decisions that, oh, I like this one point, I like that point, I'm not too sure about this one. But then each of us can follow up with the individual and find out a little bit more and maybe change their mind in that case. So we're just starting the discussion at least with this. I hope that the discussion continues after with however many others are watching and following up, etc. So that's my intent behind this. And the third question before I forget it is to draw on what experience or background will help you to serve in this particular role. And clearly, you've got one term of service to that. Or another way to phrase it is, what do you bring to the table that would help you either set apart from the competition or ultimately help you coordinate and collaborate with the others who are going to be at that table going forward?
Yeah, that's a great question, and I think we've heard some wonderful answers from different people about that, kind of for each of the specific roles, which I think has been very interesting. Personally, for me, with a focus on school committee, I think I have a couple of different key details that really set me apart in this position. The experience is great. I think, I don't want to dwell on that much because the majority of those running for school committee this year do have that experience. But having been on the outside and stepping in, I can tell you that, people can be very fast learners, especially those, that we have seen as candidates for school committee. So I think that is something that is helpful, but by no means makes me more or less qualified than the next person. Instead, what I think it is my educational background. I've been in the education system, worked through a very very interesting school system in New Jersey, where you had a lot of things that were important for the success of the students as a whole. Going down, completing 2 degrees within the course of 4 years, really being able to understand how much it takes from the student perspective to be able to pull all of that together, and how much the support systems are really the key detail in getting things done, even at the collegiate level. And then at the graduate level, I had an opportunity to teach and really kind of see, what is it that helps us succeed in the classroom? What is it, when the teachers come and they have questions, they have details or specific needs, being able to evaluate it from that perspective, I think is something that is unique on the school committee. Really being able to kind of having been in the classroom, having taught, hundreds of students, having had to manage actually a class and a group of teachers at the collegiate level, really sets me apart as a set of experiences that are hard to replicate, provide a really interesting insight into both the classroom from the teacher's perspective, but then also from the student's perspective of needing that kind of hard work ethic. Great, that is part of that package, but all those layers of support that come in from the system that you're in and how important those are. Having seen all of that firsthand, I think really puts me apart in this group. The other side of it is actually my professional experience. So I'm in the biotech sector, doing a lot of work in highly cross-functional environments. So manage teams, dozens of people, but that only does so much when you're working in a company of 6,000 people, or well, 6,000 locally, 18,000 globally. Really have to learn how little movements or little details have very outsized effects, and how, yes, fine, this might be the best opinion in your view in your world, but it has to pass through three other people's, kind of expertise in order to actually get somewhere. So really how to work with others, whether it is on something that everyone is very passionate about but have different opinions, whether it is on things that we are all on very, very different places, which happens more often than you think, in the biotech sector. And then really how you work as a team to kind of coordinate and work through the challenges instead of just saying, great, this is the idea that we have, this is what we're going to do, we're pushing forward. Like this is what's on the table. This is what everyone has to decide on. But instead of really kind of pulling in from the different groups and saying, okay, this is our goal. This is kind of the core detail. What is it that we can take from each one of the different aspects of the organization, from different groups' experience, from different individuals, to really create something that it's not even a matter of us all just tolerating, but something we're all genuinely proud of and happy to support, and then really putting that forward. And that takes a lot of interpersonal skills, takes a lot of, I don't want to call it negotiations because it's not horse trading. This is not where you just say, hey, great, I can do this extra, thing for you if you sign off on this. No, it's very much so being able to discuss and kind of meld the overall opinions together to create a better product. So being able to work through that in these high intensity situations with very, responsibilities, kind of being able to manage individuals, just like the school committee is responsible for, but then also working through a bunch of very diverse teams who you don't actually have any control over. That is really kind of something that is hard to do, is influencing or working with organizations or parts of an organization that owe you nothing. They there is no reason for them to agree to opinion. There is no reason for them to try and support you or help, but you need to be able to coordinate with them and really kind of get through and cut through all the questions, really find the right type of support and form a consensus in the best interest of everyone. And actually, that goes back to your second question, kind of on the back end. A big part of that is communicating. So as you're talking about things, you're not just saying, great, I'm going to talk about this on the side with this person and that on the side with that person. No, you do it out in the open. You say, great. All right, folks, I've talked to these four team members. I've talked to these two other teams. This is what we're able to do together. What else? Who else should we pull in? Who else needs to know? How else can we kind of pull it all together? And I think that's something that, I've really tried to do with the school committee in making things as public as possible. Anytime we have discussions, anytime that there's an opinion, or if a lot of parents are raising a concern, like this past year we had the concern about the Davis Thayer students, the families that were being moved, potentially yet again. There's a lot of swirl around that, and I think one of the biggest concerns that I had in that process was that swirl seemed to be a lot behind the scenes. It was a lot of emails. It was a lot of impassioned pleas on Facebook. It was a lot of parents who were hoping for one outcome or another. And then it felt like the discussions really became like, great, well, we'll think about this, or we'll talk about this. And what I tried to do, and a lot of that, was really make it as public as possible. It wasn't always, here's the decision, but even getting to debate on it. And that's something that I've really been kind of big on the past few years, is any chance we get to debate is good. I don't have to agree with something, but if we're going to open something up for debate, I'm happy to second it. I've had a couple of opportunities to do that with my colleagues where, great, we open up the discussion and my very next statement is, I don't agree. You know what? That's okay. And I feel like that is the environment that I've been working to really kind of create and foster with the school committee, is that environment of collaboration. And everyone should say, all right, I don't agree with that. I agree with that. All in that same vein. But that we should be having those conversations publicly so that everyone else can follow along. So it's never, how do we get to this point at the end? What happened? And then again, kind of tying it back, my professional experience and always making sure that everyone's looped in. Like my CTO has a question, I can't just say, hey, we were all talking the other day at the coffee, coffee machine. This is what we came up with. Like I have to have minutes. I have to have emails. Really aligning and showing what has been done. And I think that is something that I've had an opportunity to do with the school committee, and really going forward is something that I want to really bring to the fore, where we have everything really in the forefront. And it's not necessarily that there's deals being made on the side. I think actually we've done a great job of being transparent, but I think the thinking and the process that we go through is where we can really bring that more to the fore, where people should be encouraged to have their opinions kind of voiced. We should give parents plenty of opportunity to voice their opinions and kind of give them examples. I've done it before in meetings where I've called out specific things said in emails. And I think that that helps, because if we're having parents come and speak, they're not supposed to speak on the topics being covered that night, unless it's more of a public hearing. But I want to make sure that we're not using that as kind of an excuse to say, well, we heard you, sorry. I want to make sure that parents are, as they're sending emails, as they're getting responses from me, that they also know that they can expect some kind of outcome at the meeting, some kind of comment at the meeting, to really bring that forward. And that's the experience that I brought from my history, from my past, from my professional life, that has always it's done well by me. It's kind of a live by the sword, die by the sword. I don't always get credit, don't always get the get things going, you know, the direction that I hope, but I'm always happy at the end because everyone knows how we got there.
Yeah, and an African proverb I picked up along the way that I share from time to time, I think summarizes in some ways, and you can agree if it does or not. But if you want to go somewhere and go quickly, you go alone. But if you want to go somewhere and be able to be sustaining in that going, you bring a crowd with you. And that's hard. That takes work. But if you've brought the people along, that is sustaining in order to get there. And I
Yes.
think that summarizes effectively what you've been phrasing. And yeah, I concur.
It really does. And I think, you know, that it's really I couldn't have put it better myself. But that is the part that I want to make sure that, you know, we, especially as a school committee, are not shying away from. Hardest decisions we make, the most difficult and challenging things are the ones where, you know, you vote and you don't want to go on the social media platforms that night, right? But I think if we are much more open and we're much more engaging and we invite the community along in a more visible manner more often, and we are much more visible about how we're debating and how we're discussing, how we come to those opinions, I think we get there in a more sustained way. I think we build the trust in the community, which we have been working towards. It is a constant detail. And I think personally, like no matter what level we hit in increasing communication, in, you know, trust, regardless of who has that opinion, I think it's very important for us to recognize that it's never going to be enough. And I say that in a good way because there's always better, right? There's always the next opportunity to do at least the same and prove to people that that is really what you're creating, or learn from what you've just done and really kind of take that next step. So I think that's your that proverb was really a well-placed one, and it's a hard part about these kind of committees. You the hard questions, the hard details, the hard votes, and really voicing your opinion on it can feel daunting. It can feel very challenging. And I think, you know, I've been able to really demonstrate that that's not a concern for me. Whether it is the popular one amongst the town, whether it's a popular opinion amongst the committee itself, speaking that and then kind of really encouraging others to do the same is something that I think has really made us better over the past 2 years. And I look forward to the opportunity to continue to really support that and push for more.
Good. Good. Thank you. And now to the school committee specific questions. So with the school redistricting decision itself behind us, but still a boatload of work ahead, what do you see as some of the key priorities for the district?
So I think there's really two big priorities that we have. So the redistricting, as you mentioned, the vote, the core vote is done. But I think we would be remiss if we said redistricting is over. We have had discussions over the past the past year about what all we have ahead of us. And I think now it's even more important than ever that we don't just say, great, we finished. All right, on to the next concern. You know, we do continue to have, you know, I think a real bolus of questions surrounding transportation, whether it is how the busing systems are working. I think for in a lot of instances they are. I think in some instances there are still challenges and we're learning from them. You know, I have been engaging with some, you know, some parents about that, and also engaging with the administration. And they've been great listening and really trying to process and figure out the ways to answer instead of just say, okay, we agree, but trying to come up with solutions. And I think we need to continue to do that now. And then also, obviously, with the traffic side of things, you know, both for the middle school, for Lincoln and Washington, there's always going to be a sensitivity to traffic around, you know, release and around arrivals. And I
Correct.
think for us, we really need to continue to look towards the transportation options that we found last year, where we knew that there would be some things that we could do quickly, and we knew some things that were going to take more time. So putting together those packages and efficiently delivering them to town council for funding. To make sure that we can actually make some of these changes, you know, changing the layouts of some of the parking areas or some of the drive, you know, some of the routes that are actually traveled by people. These are things that we have discussed. I think we have them in front of us, but how we can really convey the importance and the need in an environment that is going to be tight. It's going to be a, you know, a story of belt tightening over the next couple of years. That is going to be one of the really big missions for us. And I think the other big one is really our annual exercise of how we are able to effectively prioritize the high quality education we have for our students. and really make sure that we have a effective and resilient budget and communicating that well. You know, I think we have the community to communicate it with. I think this past year really, you know, I was a big proponent, big advocate for pushing up the timeline. A lot of recognition goes to Jana and Lucas to be able to pull all that together, and Colin doing a lot when it came to trying to organize from the transportation side. And we had information out the beginning of this year instead of scrambling in March and April, trying to organize everything, trying to kind of get things going, and then communicating with town council. We were talking about our numbers before anyone else had an idea as to what their numbers would be. Like we had heard, oh, you know, we're working on numbers. It's like, great. Everything we got. And we started fielding the questions. And I think we did a better job of bringing the community along. I think we still have the questions around specific line items. We have the specific questions around, you know, what is it that, you know, there's always the concept of excess in one place or another, or additional revenue in one place or another. And I think being able to communicate that more effectively is going to be big. We've communicated it well. There's a lot of public information out there, but a matter of the sound bites and really kind of the visuals that we have to make sure that it's easily digestible, is something that we definitely have to work on, especially going into the next cycle where, you know, we had over $3 million in savings that we were able to really kind of move a lot of things around. You know, relocated teachers, we relocated students. We had a lot of efficiencies that built out, and we've continued to see that. You know, again, you think about the class size that we've targeted for each one of the, being able to say, hey, great, we can have 8 students show up at one of the middle school or one of the elementary schools, and it doesn't suddenly blow out our numbers. One student goes in each one of the classes, and life continues, versus the way it used to be, where if you had 8 students show up any one of the elementary schools, you're either over, you know, either understaffed or overstaffed. Because if you're going to have, you know, you have 25, 26 students in a class, well, now you need another teacher. But if you divide it all out, well, now you've got small classes and it's not equitable. So I think that is one of our really big challenges going forward, and making sure that people really understand kind of the importance of each one of the line items. The final thing, kind of as a addendum to that, is really trying to put the schools on the same playing field as all the other departments when it comes to the visual aspect of our budget. I want to commend our police chief, former fire chief, you know, really, you know, I was excited to see him go out on such a, you know, high note and the recognition that he had. But then also, you know, DPW, our librarians, everyone really came together this past year to look at things and really try to balance the budget for the town in a way that was as equitable as possible, while also making sure to support, you know, things that the community values. One of the things that consistently came up, we brought it up during the budget season. I brought it up many times during the subcommittees, and it was always kind of a mixed reception from the, you know, the admins and the town council. But the idea of saying, our insurance that we cover right now under the school system being represented as a separate line item, whether it is a line item like 301. I know the town council, they have their numbering system. We're not gonna have to go into that. Or the fact that all the other aspects of town have their insurance under a single umbrella that the town negotiates for everyone. Like the schools don't get a separate insurance policy. We don't have different negotiation capabilities. It's all negotiated by the town. So moving that out of our budget and having it as part of the town overall budget, so that when people look at our year-to-year change, they see the truth. And the reason I'm saying this is, you know, like this past year, our insurance as a total amount went up 7.5% of our total budget. And you think about the size of our budget, you know, that was hundreds of thousands of dollars. I think the insurance came up to close to $8 million this past year. Well, we don't control that. So a 7.5% increase on roughly 10% of our overall budget, that changes that 2.5% ask that a lot of other departments are able to look at. And I think they've done a great job of living within those means, and we've attempted to. But the problem has always been, we can stay, even if we shoot for 2% for all of our operational budget, the fact that insurance goes up this huge amount, 7.5%,
Right.
past years it was even higher. That is something that we can't control. We have multiple things that are mandated of us that we can't control, but that's one that I think is a very easy transition. So moving that off of the line 300 would be something big for me, so that we can then say, hey, we are doing what the town is asking, and really being able to showcase that in that, like I said, kind of an easy soundbite to the general public. So they see that it's not that the schools are always, asking for 3% when everyone else is asking for 2.5%. It's that the schools are asking for 2%, and our insurance that is unique to our line item doesn't care about what our targets are. It has its own requirements, and that is really a huge draw for us, and also one of the reasons why we have the size budget that we do. Again, $8 million for insurance alone. Everyone else has that kind of siphoned off on the side. Do you think about us? If we were down at 70 million, 72 million for the total budget, it's not a small number, still floating, close to 50% of the overall town budget, but it now becomes much more, more reasonable. Instead of looking at everything in aggregate as we do uniquely, that would be something else that I would really try to focus on for the coming year.
Yeah, I concur, because it would be a step in the direction that the town and schools, from a budget perspective, have over the years gradually been working, where certainly the technology is all in the school budget, facilities is all in the town budget, and then clearly the town and via DESE kind of separate that for the DESE, student per pupil expense accounting. But that's the next step towards that, I think. And we've already had that trend, that the collaboration between town and school. And then it sets you up in an apples to apples comparison to the other departments without having that asterisk. And it's a big asterisk. So,
It is, and it's something that I think it gets lost in translation, right? We've said it multiple times. I know I've personally said it multiple times at our budget meetings, at the budget subcommittee meeting, we've made that comment. But the problem is, when people are looking for the information quickly, that asterisk might be on, the answer to that might be on slide 17. People don't have that kind of time. They need to be able to say, great, show us the bullets right here, right now. The school budget went up this amount. And if you try to tweak it differently, where you're like, oh, the school budget actually went up this amount, but insurance also is fat, like, you start losing people because you're trying to connect too many dots. I think it's very important, to your point, to make it a true apples to apples comparison and really make sure that people understand that the schools are doing a great job staying within those means and really trying to keep things as tight as possible. There are set requirements that we have that are unique that make that a challenge.
And I think we've covered a portion of the next question, but we certainly talked about the largest portion of the town budget being the school district budget. In addition to the ideas that we've already discussed, do you have any other ideas in terms of the structural deficit that we still face?
So I think it's always one of those details where the term kicking the can down the road, it is used very often because everyone knows how it ends. And we've done this multiple times. Really the schools contributed to this past year by doing the redistricting, right? You think about the override question 2 years ago was 6.8, because the school set or setup that we had was so much larger this past year. It was more than cut in half, because we found a lot of that savings and efficiencies on the school side. We also have had situations where we've drawn from rainy day fund on the town council side of things, which again, it plugs holes, but it's a rainy day fund for a reason. It's because the money doesn't always go in there. There's not always money going to be available there. So the more and more that you ignore the hard questions, the worse shape that can's in by the end. And I think we're at a point now where we could, in theory, find ways to kick the can again. And there's always going to be some little detail that's found somewhere, or some last minute rescue that may or may not come. But I think really now what we need to do is say, this is the deficit that we face. There is no stopgap. There is no override coming. There is no extras. This is what we have, and plan accordingly. I think from the school side, it would help a lot if we knew the exact allocation that we were getting from the start, instead of kind of hoping that we're, the people might not move too much in one direction or another. That does make it very challenging for us. So that would be something that I'd be very excited to work with town council on, is making sure that we early on we have a good idea of really kind of where things are going to sit. But then beyond that, from the school side of things, we do have grants. We've brought in millions of dollars in grants in the past 2 years, upwards of $5 million. Like, really, a lot of effort that goes into that. But beyond that, I think we've had the discussion around what was the Kennedy School, now the Pond Street ECDC. Looking at that as a potential childcare facility, that requires some input on the front end. Obviously, a challenge again, in this day and age, but if we're able to get that up and running, that is something that the schools can do to really kind of give back to the town as a whole and give back to our budget, so that we're able to continue to grow and to foster the students that we need to support, and also bring them into the system earlier. It allows us to recruit teachers. It allows us to recruit staff. It allows us to support the community by providing a trustworthy environment here in our school system that they can then take advantage of. I know that some other towns nearby do that with great effect. I know Medway has something similar, and it's been very interesting to see how we could potentially utilize that here, and to really drive this kind of self-sustaining environment of it brings in revenue and we're able to support it and expand it, therefore it brings in more. And once we have that really kind of stable revenue, understanding how much that helps us stabilize our expectations and allows us to plan for the long term, I think is something that's very important. The other side of it is really twofold. One is the idea of, investing in the right locations. This is hard when we're talking about belt cutting, but making sure that we're making decisions that have longer term implications when it comes to cost savings. One good example of this are like curriculum resources that we have. You can buy them in the short period of time, and great, this year I need, $200,000. We're all set for the next two. Or I need $400,000, and now we have 6 years worth of educational programming. Looking at those and really trying to balance it out and say, great, the budget might kind of do, an up and down 1 year to the next, but what we're doing is we're locking in and we're sustaining significant cost savings for the town, and looking at other opportunities to really do that. Trying to coordinate as much as we do with the town. I know that there's been some questions around, different individuals that we have, kind of admins or IT staff, and really helping to explain to people how much cross-functional work we have going, excuse me, we have going on, and really trying to kind of bring that in as much as we can to make it more efficient, where it's not just we have people there to support, but to really create some structure. And some of that might be a matter of hiring more experienced people who know how to manage that overall system and network, so that we can be as efficient as possible, instead of just having a bunch of people filling very complex roles in individual capacities, where you might have overlap in experience, you might have overlap in responsibilities that you could really make sure that we support better, but we may need to be able to invest in those kind of environments in order to do so. And then finally, being able to utilize the facilities that we have in a greater way. I know that some of our fields get good use of. Watch my children play on fields. But I think we do have some great opportunities for other aspects of our facilities that we could use to bring in a more consistent source of revenue. And I think we need to explore that more actively, instead of just, hey, this is an idea. We may use it from time to time, but to really have and advertise the program when it comes to how you can get the facilities that we have. Rent them, how you can utilize them, what's required of it, so that the community is also able to engage more. We have more presence, we have more use of the buildings, but also we have another source of revenue coming in. And that's, I think those levers really kind of new revenue and then efficient expenditures, understanding that 1 year might be high to save a significant amount over time. Those are really the two main approaches that I think are going to be critical for us to succeed in the next couple of years.
Sounds good. Thank you for that. And while we've covered a variety of topics in our conversation so far, if there's some other topic that we haven't touched on that you'd like to address, we can use this opportunity while folks are still listening. We're here. Or at least, make your closing statement. You can go both or one or the other.
So I think, For me, another topic that has been very interesting, and actually I've heard it mostly through your interviews, so I really appreciate those, is really understanding kind of the importance and the separation of the school committee and the town council. We have a lot of new potential candidates for town council this year. It has been very exciting to hear their positions and understand more about them. There has been a lot of conversation around what we have in front of us. You've asked the same type of questions of them. And one thing that has come up on multiple occasions is this idea that there's something hiding somewhere. At the schools, because there's this large budget item, there must be money to be found. If we squeeze one part more, if we cut, small portions here or there, we can suddenly solve the problem. And I think really two important details there to remember are, this is a very public experience. As I said, we had the budget out for the schools all the way at the beginning of the year, January, February. We're discussing it very actively in the public setting. We've talked about all the different places the money's going, where things are coming in, the big picture items, like really the huge expenses that we have. We're predominantly a human resource driven organization. It is not about how many pencils we buy. It is not about how many classrooms we have. It is about the extremely talented educators and support staff and administrators that we have in these schools. And that is really kind of the big bolus of what we have from an expense perspective. And we do run an amazingly lean ship. Our administrative costs are low compared to many schools in the state. We have the support staff that are necessary either legally or based on all the guidance and policies that we have set over the past, 2 years. We've repeated the policies, such as class sizes, that is very important to parents. But we really don't have things that are inefficient, just kind of hiding in one place or another. We go to FinCom every year. We have a lot of great questions, and actually, this past year, the FinCom was very, very engaging. And I appreciate a lot of the questions they provided, because I think it really highlighted the fact that there's really not a whole lot left. When you can see the bone, like you don't necessarily need to hit it as you're trying to cut down to kind of what's left. And then kind of the other interesting part, and I have seen kind of two different responses in this vein, is the fact that the way the budget is set up is independent. The town council has a total budget that they have to work with, and they will assign a specific part of that budget based on their priorities to the schools. The schools have our priorities within the school system, and we vote just on the amount allocated, and we discuss how that is set up. Any discussion around, well, if you cut here or if you cut there, we think we can save you money, or we might be able to give you some more, I think really it doesn't blur the lines. It kind of breaks that boundary that is set. And it's set again by two elected bodies. So I think that is something that is going to be very important as the discussions continue. The discussions from, people voting on the overall budget saying, hey, here's the specific places that we can save. They have no ability to do that. They can say, oh, I'm sure the school committee would cut that location or cut that specific role. But instead, what they should do is they should come to our meetings. And actually, I'd love to see it. I know I'd actually suggested to Dave this past year that he start, one of us start going to the town council meetings more regularly. It seems like we've got kind of a bit of a situation there where it's working, where we have some communication happening. But I think really, having that as a more formalized system where we come as an agenda item and we discuss and we talk and we answer questions back and forth with town council is a much better way for us to do it. Looking forward to trying to set that up going forward. But also the other way around, inviting the town councilors to us, especially those really concerned with budget, come and be and host the budget subcommittee for town council. Come host a meeting during our budget. We can set it up where we can have the discussions. Ask your questions, find those little details, but still understanding that if you feel like you found $60,000 or you feel like you found $300,000 on a specific line item without any context, without any detail, without the understanding of why that's there in the first place, again, if we're able to engage more directly with them, they can ask that question of us and we can solve that problem all at once. Great. But if not, if you say you found 60K or 300K or even 20K, you if that is really the goal, it can be cut. But where it is cut from does not come from town council. It comes from school committee. And
Right.
that is done with the entirety of our budget in mind. We do have a lot of priorities, and a lot of those have seen very intense cuts. You think about the music and the arts programs, these
Sure.
very intense cuts. And the problem is, when you continue, as I've said, you see the bone, you don't need to keep on cutting. There are programs and there are details that we have tried to prioritize in different ways. We've had some successes, we've had some things that have fallen flat, but when we don't have sufficient funding to provide for everything, we need to try and find some locations that can be handled differently. You think about the fees that we've implemented, the much higher fees that we have for athletics. That's something we can do there. For a school, we can't. So when we have, when we have significant budget cuts, and if one of the positions happens to be an educator, everything that educator supports is now challenged.
Sure.
So we have a very different setup. So I would, just kind of make sure that we do engage more on the budget side of things, that people understand that they are very, very separate bodies, that any kind of discussion or detail about it, I would love to see it, in a public setting. But ultimately, the attempt to force the hand from one body to the other doesn't work. It can only ever be setting one large number and then allocating that same exact number. Those are the only two powers each one of those groups has. And as long as people remember kind of where those big separations are, I think it will help the population a lot. It'll help the residents of Franklin to understand, when you want more things from the schools, we lay out exactly where it all goes. We have a lot of detail. And for us, we're lucky, right? We have all of our line items, but it is all contained within just our discussion. Town council has lots of different line items that all have their line items.
Sure.
But for us, you can come and you can see exactly how it all shakes out. And we've actually done, I think, a very hard but efficient job of saying this is where it comes from and explaining why each time. So that is kind of what we go to the town council with. And if they disagree with how we're spending it, like that's not their area. What they can do is say either we think that, the education system here really does need to continue to be as strong as it is. It does continue to need the funding that it has gotten, whether it has been a challenging situation or not, and really fund it from that perspective, understanding that the people in the trenches looking at it day in and day out are there doing it for the best interest of our students. Or they need to tell the public that, we really feel like the situation is challenging. And either like this past year, cuts across the board. Everyone had to, had to go through some hard decisions.
Lots of pain.
Or if people, if people prioritize other things, then that's just what they need to be declaring. And that's really kind of where the two worlds sit. So that for me is just something I want to make sure that people do understand. There have been a lot of conversations around that. And it's easy to kind of point at things that you've not necessarily been focused on. I think school committee members have been focused on this. I think town council, candidates have been focused on a lot of things, and I've been very interested to hear a lot of the detail and a lot of the effort that they put forward. But it doesn't necessarily translate into understanding the detail of every little thing under them, especially things under the purview of the school committee. So look forward to those opportunities in the future. Outside of that, my closing remarks are really, I've appreciated the engagement from the community and the efforts from parents to make sure that we're doing all that we can for the students. I look forward for the opportunity to be able to continue to do that, to be able to continue to really bring the concerns of the parents to light, to listen, to really commit to that transparency and that opportunity to answer questions. It was something that came up during this past tenure, really, I think one of my big votes was surrounding the fact that we didn't give parents enough time to feel informed. I think there is really something that we need to make sure that we're doing going forward is we can't just say, hey, we've been talking about this for a while. It's like, great. How many parents are signing in every single night, right? Like we see it. We see exactly how many parents are watching the meetings, at least live.
Via Zoom, sure.
Right. So then to turn around and say, well, great, we've been talking about this forever. Well, taking that extra time to really make sure that either we can assure that we're going to engage with everybody, or admitting that, hey, we didn't actually fill that goal, or in my opinion, that requirement of our role to engage and really communicate with the public. Therefore, we need to listen to them and take a step back for a minute and do that community outreach and really engage with folks before we take decisions, before we make votes, or before we take votes and make those decisions. Because I feel like one of the biggest challenges we've run into is that we see a lot of information. We've been there, as I said, we're watching it day in, day out.
Right.
We feel like it's all there. We take the vote and then we run out to the community. And we're like, oh, hey, here's all the answers, by the way. And I feel like, redistricting is a great example. I feel like did such a better job after the fact in engaging with people and talking to them. And that was a huge point of what I'd brought up. And I think that that is really what we need to flip. We need to be engaging and talking to people at that same level before we take the vote. So that when we take it, yes, it is the hard conversation. Back to what you said about the group, right? It is the hard conversation. It's in public, but it's what we owe all of our constituents. It's what we owe all the families of these students that we're tasked with making sure that they have this fantastic education that so many of us have moved here for. So that is something that I really commit to continuing going forward, and look forward to the opportunity to be able to make sure the parents feel engaged and brought along for this overall process as we continue to redistrict and continue to face down some very interesting fiscal challenges in the coming years. So appreciate it, and appreciate all the time that you had here, Steve. I know that I'm the last of, or one of the last of many, and the hours upon hours that this has taken, it doesn't go unnoticed. I know by myself, I know by other candidates for all the different roles, but then also the community. If this is going to be one of the last meetings or last things that you have posted, I want to make sure that that is the closing is really a thank you to you and all your efforts, and looking forward to the opportunity to serve for another 2 years.
Yeah, well, thank you for that. And listeners, thank you for listening. Quick reminder, we do this because Franklin matters.
This program was made possible by your Franklin friends and neighbors, good folks just like you. Thanks for supporting Franklin TV. And thanks for watching.